Blog Talk Radio.
Rounding the Red Sea.
什么也是原谅，哎呀，阿拉哈呀那哇，哎呀。什么也是完了，还有阿拉海那瓦，还有。什么也是完了，还有阿拉海那瓦，还有。
Shalom, shalom, family, and welcome to Restoring the Daughters of Zion, your Monday night radio show, designed with you in mind. G-O-C-C's. You heard what I said? G-O-C-C's First Women's Show, designed with you in mind. You know what I'm going to tell you? You got to laugh. You got to laugh. If you can't laugh, what else can you do? Although, let me just throw it out here right now. Sometimes when you're laughing and you're making jokes, like I think I don't live without laughing and making jokes. And sometimes I have to be careful, though, because I hurt somebody's feelings without trying, you know? And I thought that I was going to, you know, get that hard slap in my face. Well, that's how I felt anyway afterwards, because when you don't mean to hurt somebody's feelings and their feelings get hurt, it hurts you too. But, you know, the only thing I can say is anybody out there, anybody, if you're ever offended by anything I say, I treat everybody in our family, in our church family, like we're all brothers and sisters. And I don't have any respect for my brothers and sisters. I just want you to know that. We love each other to death. Okay? So hang on. Anyway, of course, those first two musical interludes that you just heard were the Song of Moses, Exodus 16 in its entirety, and our dedication, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I'm your host, Sister Shirley, shall I say, your humble servant. I'm not sure I'm humble, but anyway, I'm trying. Sister Shirley and Sister Carol out there.
I'm here. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom, Carol. Don't worry. If you're not humble, we'll give you enough to make you go home and cry. So, Sister Jackie, you out there?
Shalom, I'm here.
Shalom, Sister Jackie. And Sister Jackie, you've got such a wonderful demeanor about you. You know, you bring a lot of, shall we say, sunshine to the program. And it's just, yeah. But I'm sure somebody will find some fault with you too. So don't even try it. Okay?
Oh yes.
All right. Cut it out, Jackie. Cut it out. I won't have that.
Shalom.
Sister Aura, you here? Sister Aura?
Shalom. Shalom.
Okay. And Sister Betty, I think I heard you back there.
Yes, I'm here. Shalom.
I knew I heard you moan.
Yes.
Oh,
I'm
my
here.
Goodness. All right, guys. So now, so if you didn't know before, you know now that we're coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio International. If you want to be a part of the round table to ask a question, to make a comment, dial in for yourself at 515-605-9327. That's 515-605-9327. Or you can simply listen in by going to the Blog Talk webpage or the church's webpage and click on the Blog Talk Radio Show and look for Restoring the Daughters of Zion. You can also reach out to us in a private email, restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. That's restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. All right, so we're in for a lot today. I really tried really hard to upload a clip so that everyone could just hear it firsthand, but I couldn't get it done. So anyway, we'll go with what we have. But Carol, as usual, can you bring us before the throne of grace? Because right now, you know what? I need prayer. And I want
to only prayer, Cheryl. As the scriptures say, man should pray and not fail. So we can't ever get enough of that, can we?
Exactly, because I've fainted today a few times. Like Adam. So what I want you to do is I want you to remember to pray for Desiree. She told me that she had some problems with her eyes when she went to the doctor. And you know, there are people with big problems around here, you know. So I can hardly start complaining about others, you know, about the little things that we have, but these little things can annoy, but be in prayer for Sister Des. And then there's another sister, Sister Claudette, that's having problems. Just be in prayer for her. And one other sister that just told me today she might be put out of her home, and her name is Sister Deborah. So if you could ask the Most High, just look down upon them. You may not remember their names as you're praying, but somebody remember them, okay? All right.
Right.
Go ahead,
so let's start out with this, that if I forget anything that you asked for, that one of the people on the phone will try and help me out here. I got Desiree, Claudette, and Deborah.
Yes.
The Father knows your needs. Desiree's eyes. Deborah, I think, being put out. And Claudette, I don't remember your challenge.
I don't think I brought it out, but I felt like just pray for her.
But the Most High, you know, when we were in the First Day Church, we always just had a special unspoken. The Most High knows what they need. He knows, just like a mother knows what her child needs.
And then there's another special unspoken for a Sister Sheree. Just be in prayer for her, okay? That the Most High would just bless her, okay?
Well, I'm asking for prayer for me, too. As we all go through these challenges as we get older, that our bodies, that we can heal them.
Yes.
And become renewed. These are the temples of the Most High, and many of us have put them through abuse. Not recognizing that these are the temples. I'm going to come out of lamentation today. That was my plan. And I want to add something just so you sisters know. Well, first let me pray.
Amen.
Lamentation. I am reading from Lamentations 3. I'm going to start at the 21st verse and go down to 31. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be there, may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is still full with reproach, for the Lord will not cast off forever. Gracious Eternal Father, we do thank you tonight for your word. Your word is faithful because you are faithful, Father. We come to you tonight first to thank you for everything that you've given us, the day, the night, restful sleep, or hopeful sleep, Father. We thank you for all the things that you're doing, that this country has not yet been hit with war on our shores. Father, we must be grateful for that, because there are many, many countries around this world that are in fight, that children are dying everywhere, not just so this Ukraine that they put in our face, but places like Yemen and places like Kashmir in India and so on, places where war has been going on, Syria. These places are being bombed, Father. We're asking you, I'm not going to say that they can say peace, but when you say peace, not them, Father, but touch the people in these countries, Father. We're asking you to touch Sister Desiree, Sister Claudette, Sister Deborah, Father, with the aches and pains, and all the sisters that have called in, wrote in, asked for special something. Father, I'm asking you to touch my body too. And all the women who are on the phone, listening, calling, so on and so forth, Father, that you touch our bodies, touch our minds, and give us the strength to go on, Father, and to touch this program tonight, that it may bring someone comfort, that it may edify this body, that we may be edified, Father. That all our households may seek for peace, and our family members can come forth and say, what must I do to be saved, Father? You told us to go ye forth into the world. The main reason that we're on this phone is that somebody's mind might be changed. Somebody might say, what must I do to be saved? Somebody listening.
Amen.
We thank you and we praise you, Father, for once again waking us up and starting us
our
way, giving us the ability to call in our right mind. We thank you so much for everything that you've done, doing, and will still do.
Yes.
In the name of Ahayah Bahashim Yeshaya Warawak Aman. I just wanted to add something, that when I used to study with the Jewish people, they have lots of different holidays or things that are on their calendar that you may not know about. But they have one that they call Tish B'Av, and that is supposed to be the day that the temple was destroyed. And they say that it happened both times on the same day. Is that a Jewish fable? Is it truth? I really don't know. But during that day, you're supposed to go to the temple dressed kind of raggedy to make it show that you're not excited, you're not happy, you're lamenting because of the temple that has been destroyed. And you go in and they'd read the entire book of Lamentation. I just wanted to give that to you since I came out of the book of Lamentation, just something for you to know about. So when I went that night to meet with them, I was told to wear sandals, something looking very pitiful, and not to come in like I was going to the regular holy days where you come in and you're supposed to bring, like, come in with, like, just your best. Anyway, let's move on. I just thought I'd give that to you.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you would say that, because I remember in the First Day Church, we were going to church. It was something called your Sunday best. You put on your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, and you always looked great on Sundays when you went. Now, I think that, as it morphed into something else, you know, where it became a fashion show. But before it was, you know, you washed yourself clean before you came before the Lord. And you put on clothing, you came in and you presented yourself, you know, even in scripture, when the Most High would say, get ready to come by, make sure, wash your clothes, you know, come in here. Yeah, to meet him. And that's probably where the church got that from. And Elder and I were kind of talking about that a little bit today, because we were talking about marriage and why, you know, why it seems that nobody, not a lot of people want to get married anymore within the church. And he was saying, you know, that sometimes the image also of the people, both the men and the women, are not coming to church like they are presenting themselves to be married, you know, to send in some of the congregations, you know, you don't see that. And, you know, sometimes that gets pushed off into, are we being vain? Is it vanity or what have you? So there's just such a balance that has to be put together when you start talking like that, because the scripture says at our best, it's vanity all the way. We just are. And so when you look at us and you see us, even though we come up with the ideas of, okay, this is what we want in a man, this is what we want in a woman, we can write the textbook answer down and give you all the wonderful things, but if we don't catch that appearance, 90% of the times, it's not happening. And it's like, why is it that way? I kind of thought it was that way because being young, you know what I mean? But a lot of times, it has to do with what people look like. And on both sides of the fence, not just a man and not just a woman. It's both of them. To initially get the person started. And that's why, just like we had talked about, Carol, the idea of arranging marriages. Because those marriages don't last. And that's where the problems come in when they, you know, have those situations. But I do want to get to the crux of what we wanted to talk about. What's that noise in the background? Someone?
Hello.
I know that's you, Betty.
No, it's not. I hear the noise. Not me. I hear the noise.
Not me.
Yeah.
You see, Shirley, not everyone gets you. You know what I mean? Like your personality, not everyone gets you.
It's
so
true.
You have to be around you. You have to love you and actually observe you and to get you.
This is true.
I think,
this
you know what, Sister Betty? You know what I think? I think that's everybody. Nobody gets everybody. We're
this
all, you know, certain people really get us. That's why we have certain friends. Some of us
exactly.
have people that would never be my friend, but they'd be your friend. So, you know, understand that certain people come, you know, are attracted to be around me, and some people are attracted to be around my sister or around Betty or Jackie or Aura. You know, we all are like that, but you know what? The scripture says how wonderful it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's
unity.
What we have to strive for, unity. We have
that's
to strive
right.
for that and recognize that these little things that usually tick us off are so, so silly.
It's true.
We have to learn not to be so petty. And a guy in our church said something like, he said, why do you act this way in church? Before, when we were on the street, we were tough. Nobody's stepping to me, better recognize. Then acting big and bad. Then we get in the church and we fall apart. He didn't say Shalom to me today.
Yeah.
So where did all the hard people go? Where did all those people go? And all of a sudden there's such a bunch of softies. But I do want to say something in reference to the holy days, because it was mentioned in our church today, and I thought it was, not today, but Sabbath. I thought it was profound. We started talking about the regular holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, those things. And he said, do you realize that all of those days are going to pass away? But in the world to come, Sabbath, Passover, Feast of Tabernacles, all those days will remain. Why are we not keeping those days? Why would we keep stuff that's going to pass away? There ain't going to be no Christmas holiday in the world to come. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Nor Easter, nor any of those days. And I thought that was a very important thing to think about. Many of us worship on Sunday. You won't be worshiping on Sunday anymore. That's going away.
Yeah.
But from Sabbath to Sabbath, it says that, right?
That's true.
In the world to come.
Wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Somebody is seriously sitting in the background.
Somebody's washing dishes or snowing.
I know, I hear that. I don't know where
yeah.
it's coming from.
Somebody who's doing the work that you have to do. Just move your phone a little bit and later. Yeah, okay. All right, so that helped out. But I know sometimes you got to cook while you got you know how we women are. You're doing six things at once. And that's just the bottom line.
That's the truth.
You just have to. I mean, hey, because you got to seize that moment, you know. But okay, so
idle hands.
Go ahead, Carol. I'm sorry.
No, I said idle hands. We don't believe in that, do we?
Yeah, I know, right? And you know that it's like sometimes we talk about, you know, I butt in a lot because I'm rude, but I learned that at home, you know. We came with a family of nine brothers and sisters, and if you didn't butt in, you just were not heard. And that's
and you know something, girls, you know something, me being like the youngest, all I knew how to do was stand on the side and scream.
I know. Older brothers, yeah. Our older brothers and sisters, they still can't believe we grew up. They can't. And
I know.
So they're still treating us like we're the babies, you know.
Yeah.
But, what?
Okay. Yeah.
But okay, I wanted to throw out there that, you know, we were talking about last week. I just want to do some kind of a catch-up recap because I call the show "Can One Bad Apple Spoil the Whole Bunch?" Because, you know, I got a lot of backlash from people with this Godfather, Kevin Samuel. Yes, they felt like he has so many wonderful things. A couple of brothers told me he's really helping people. He's helping because he's saying the things that all the brothers are thinking and that it's helping people. And I just needed him to tell me a few people that it helped. But nonetheless, I felt like, okay, have we tagged this guy long? Have we tagged him long? And then I listened further, and he came up with this, and I didn't download it because I couldn't. But he made it clear that a high-value man has the right to cheat. And this is where I knew it would go to after a while, you know, that after a while, sin would definitely come in that
ugly head.
Exactly. That a woman, anybody that thinks that they could be with a man that's not a high value, that's a high value man, and think he's not going to cheat is just badly mistaken. That they're crazy. See, now, how does that have anything to do with us? You know, he's saying that one of the reasons he said they have the right to cheat is because there's nothing like new stuff. Okay? And then he said that when this man cheats, you know, his woman should be grateful that he's cheating. Because a woman, he said, first of all, women should not be revered as anything. Well, let me get his words right. He said that a woman, once she thinks that she, that you won't leave her, that you're a problem at that point. And that he, you need to know that he's got a chick on the side, and you ought to make, almost make friends with this chick she has on the side. Because he gave the example, oh, you know, with him every Tuesday. Well, hey, I'm glad with him, so I can go get my nails done. I can go do this. This is not the world we live in. This is the world at large. And so I just said, this is madness. And so we don't, I don't understand how anyone could think that this is the guy that we should listen to. Now, you know, I was speaking, like I said, with Elba today. And yes, image is important in the church for us also. But that's all. If that's all you've got nothing. So, like I said, I listened to that tape, and I could barely listen to it because it really upset me to the point that, you know, you could degrade a woman, because nothing's more than degrading to a woman than a man that's cheating on her. I don't care how anybody looks at it. But he came up with another thing that said, women love it when a man cheats. And he says that, first of all, I want to say too, that little silver thing that he has on his desk when he has his show going, spinning around, I think that's some kind of
hypnotic. That's so distracting.
Betty, I think Betty said it was some kind of witchcraft or something like that.
Yeah,
really?
I see him as a practicing war. He's a warlock. I think he practices that. I mean, I don't know. I would agree. Yeah.
That thing on his desk is so distracting that it does feel like it's hypnotizing you.
Exactly.
And I'd have to turn away from looking at it. It is so distracting.
All right. So I took a few notes. Now, one thing he does is he uses foul language. We don't need to be dealing with anybody that's using foul
language. Yeah, yeah.
Just,
he does first.
And it's not even just that he is every now and then says, you know, he's throwing out the F word and F bombs and stuff like that. But this man doesn't like women.
No.
And that's just the truth. He doesn't like women. And he says, women love men who cheat. Now, any of you guys respond to that? Do any of you guys have a special love for your husband because he cheats?
No, here's what, Shirley, let's get this straight, okay?
Go ahead.
He's saying that women have their issues because they love men who cheat. I listened to him a few times, and I know where he's coming from. He says they do
Please explain.
Why do you choose these men who's going to cheat on you?
No, Betty didn't say that. The title of this one, because he contradicted himself, the title was Women Love Men Who Cheat, and that make a woman know that you're the only one that you want. That woman's bored. She wants a man that she
wants. And he also said that.
He said women are bored. And when you don't cheat on them, then you're boring. That's what he said.
Hold on.
I can't hear you. Keep going in and out.
You're breaking up somewhat, girls. But let me say something.
Try to do better.
Let me say something. I don't know what program you listen to, Betty, but I know the one that I listened to him about was setting ground rules for cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what you have to think about is during the times of kings and queens, you're talking mm-hmm. about when someone's high value, they had their own room, and that was so that the man could bring different women in and out of there when he pleased. And the woman was the queen or whoever it was okay with it, but she wasn't to cheat. Only he was to cheat. And he also said that we as women, that we are aware that our men are cheating. So therefore, we should have a meeting with our man, not in the house, but outside in case some screaming got started so that we'd know to keep our voices down, was that we were to set ground rules with that man to decide on basically certain rules. One, no babies came out of your cheating. Two, you brought home no diseases. Three, you were discreet. And there was a fourth one. Oh, you didn't spend a lot of money so that we weren't losing stuff from the home. But if you were able to do that, keep the bills paid, make sure our children don't find out about this, I'm good with your cheating. Now, that has nothing to do with a woman desiring it. This is the rules that should be set down. We should accept it, know that this man is going to cheat, but that when we need him, he is there. Now,
yeah.
That's not one of the most degrading things to that woman.
Yeah,
I don't understand it. However,
Hang on.
There were women who called in and said that they agree with him and that they've had these conversations with their men and that they're happy and content knowing that the man is going to be faithful in front of them. And as long as they don't know about it, they're good with it. Also, he said that this is just the way the real world works, and that any woman who thinks that her man is going to be faithful is living in a world of, you know, she's tricking herself. Now,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how that has anything to do with the Word of God. That's my concern.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling people how to get away with sinning when Christ
mm-hmm.
told us if a man just looks upon a woman with lust, he's already committed adultery or fornication.
So how do we
as believers get around this?
And before
that's my concern.
I want Betty to speak, but I want to say...
No. What I was trying to say is, did you come in on the first starting of the show, or you came on a tail end of something?
I was in on the whole show, unfortunately.
I started on the beginning.
2 hours.
On the very beginning.
I was sick.
Okay, well, I
have
I have never heard him speak in that sense, because once he said that
April
why do you want a rich man anyway, or why would you want a high-value man anyway, because he's probably going to be the worst man that you ever meet. A man with money, he says, is probably the worst jerk in the world. But I think he goes into a lot of explanation.
Wait a minute, Betty, because
he portrays himself
as a man with money. The high-value man. He portrays him.
Which he
so
says that high-value men,
what he was,
men with, that make a lot of money are men who's going to be the biggest jerks in the world.
I never heard him say that. But that's not exactly true either.
He was coming from. And so
that's not exactly true either.
When you listen to
that's
him
not
more,
exactly
you'll
the
see
truth
that
either.
He contradicts himself in trying to explain
Definitely.
Himself.
But see, Betty, here is the challenge.
Wait,
why are we listening to people who are constantly contradicting themselves? Why would you want to hear that?
What the world does.
Exactly.
And let me say this. one of the things he said is he knows that and believes. Wait. He said that these so-called men that are going to have these affairs, he said, you have to give a woman something to worry about. The worst thing you can do is let a woman be comfortable. Give your woman a gift of discomfort. These are quotes from him. A gift of discomfort. Men of value have more options than other guys. Whether you do it or not, keep your woman guessing. And so the thing is that when he's saying all these things, okay, is this man advocating sin? That's number one. And then my question to him is, okay, if it's all right for a man to have these extracurricular activities, who's he having it with? Who is my husband going to have it with? His daughter? His mother? His aunt? His sister? Who's he violating? You understand what I'm saying? Somebody,
well,
he's violating someone from, wait, Beth, I'm not talking about what's going on in the outside world. I'm talking about the tidbits are dropping into the heart of my mind. Who are they going to be violating? I'm still messing up.
Hello? Yeah, you're breaking up.
Can you hear me now?
I'm trying again.
Breaking up a little bit.
Can you hear me?
That sounded good.
I heard that.
Yeah. What I'm saying is who he's violating, one that's had sex outside of marriage, is violating particularly some daughter of Israel. If you're part of Israel, you are violating someone. So how is that beneficial to anyone? Is he willing to put his daughter out there and say, hey, you can have my daughter? You know, and then I've heard them say, he's telling us that we need to be virgins, really? So who are you having
sex with?
You should be a virgin. That the girls, that the sister should be virgin. If he's having these extracurricular activities, is he having it with somebody else's wife? Who's he having it with?
No. You see, this, Shirley, the reason why you have some of the young men in the church and some of the church folks agreeing with him is because he was sounding like he had some sense with what he was saying. Now, what I heard when it comes to that, he's saying that high-valued men are not going to look at women who have children or married, who are married. They're going to look at young virgins. They're going to be, because they got the money, they can have any woman they want. And so it's going to be a virgin. It's going to be a young girl. It's going to be a pretty girl. That's how he talks.
No, we get that. But see, he is simply saying that when you get married, these are the basic rules that one should look for. Now, I do want to say this, and a sister wrote this in, and my husband had given this to me the other day. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, and it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. The time is come. The time is today. Sister Betty, we're not saying that there isn't one or two things that this man might say that are okay. It's just a very, very scary time for a person to try and utilize this man for council. And that's the only reason we're going back there again, because we had people writing us with stuff, but he has some good things. Now, when I was raising my daughter, my youngest daughter, I went out and bought Steve Harvey's book, me and my other sister, and gave it to our girls and told them he's got some good things to say, because we didn't finish the book. And this brother was talking about, you know, you should not be laying with a man. You just met this man and all this stuff. Well, he gets to the part where he says, after 3 months, then you can do it. Now, that has nothing to do with the scripture. But yet Steve Harvey was saying he was born again. And all. So we thought he was going to be a good teacher. He ended up being a terrible teacher. He
right.
And this gentleman, Kevin Samuels, is a waste of time. We cannot take – it's a dangerous thing to listen to him. It's dangerous.
I agree with that. He says things that are on point, but yet he talks out both sides of his mouth, which he's a very dangerous to the young men. And
he's very dangerous.
And
he's dangerous to the young women, because these women on the program, these young girls are saying they're feeling helpless. They're feeling like I need to put up with this stuff for this man to do these things to me. It made me feel almost like I should wake up in the morning and ask God, why did I have to be born a woman? That's how he was making me feel, because it was just degrading. All we're good for is taking care of some man, being a maid to him and to his children, and hoping and praying that he doesn't shame us.
Or throw
us
out.
That's all he made me feel like.
He said, and this is a quote, if you don't want your man to cheat, you bring in the other woman and y'all have fun together. That's a quote from him.
What
are we throwing in? Lesbianism now? You know? Where are we going with this? When I was talking to a couple of brothers in the congregation, they said to me, well, we know not to do this. Let me tell you something. Don't play with the devil.
Right.
Don't play with the devil, because those little things that are planted in your heart take root.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You don't need to be dealing with anything that's going to cause you to possibly sin, to avoid the very appearance of evil.
Right.
To avoid
our words are like a seed. His words are like a seed being planted, and it's going to bring forth fruit, whether it's good fruit or bad fruit. Mm-hmm. It's going to bring forth fruit, and what he's doing is good, but it's not God.
And
it's
that's
not
why
his
plan.
Now, you know there was a Kevin Wesley also on the internet. And this Kevin Wesley, he has two wives. He has two wives.
Okay. Okay.
And he shows them in the bed together.
Yeah.
There's a guy who's a large following. He got two wives. So he's promoting polygamy. And so our young people are listening to him. He has these two beautiful women who is his wife, and they're together. And it's like they're in the bed, all three of them together.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So they're promoting.
Because when he's not home, they're partying with him.
I don't know who he is, but that's another person you wouldn't want to listen to. But I want to read something out of Isaiah 30. And then, Charles, if you could elaborate on something that happened to one of your daughters, okay? This is Isaiah 30, and I'm going to start with the first verse, and I'm going to read all the way down to 3. It says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion. Now tell her the story of your
time. Yeah. And I think I kind of went over this briefly when we first started studying, when we first got pulling out of the church, when we found the problems that were going on in the church. And we began surfing the internet for stuff, for material, for help, because we felt like...
But we had found out that we were the children of Israel, and that we were black, and that, you know, Africa and all of that.
Yes. And we were just saying, oh, my goodness, and just going deep. And there were enough people out that were trying to merge Egypt with the Bible and showing and trying to tie you into Egyptology. And I mean, sheets and sheets of information. And we were digging and we were reading and we were in a panic. We were in a panic because, you know, we were waiting. Well, what's truth? And brought my kids in, and everybody was studying, and everything I had, I went out and I bought all the books, I bought everything you could think of, and we dug them out, all the way back to the Book of the Dead, looking into all this stuff, Dr. Africa, all the liars that you could find. Now, because we had that foundation in Christ, that we're not just head knowledge, but what Christ had done in our souls, we trembled when we touched those things. But my daughter, she delved into it. It appealed to her blackness, and she's still in it today. And still explaining to me about Egyptology and all that stuff. So who are you going to lose out there to Kevin? Who are we going to lose to him? Listening to him. Don't think for 5 minutes there are not some weak brothers out there and sisters that will get lost in his rhetoric.
Yes. It
and didn't they say he was a Christian too?
Yes,
didn't
he did.
They say he was having himself as a Christian.
He's dangerous. Mm-hmm. He's dangerous.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that when we have the Holy Spirit and we have the Spirit of the Most High working in us and teaching us and leading us and guiding us into all truth with confidence, we have no need for spoil. Why would we even listen to something like that? Why would any woman accept the fact that it's okay for her man to go out and have an affair with somebody else? That's low self-esteem to the third power right there.
That's totally against God's word, though. That's totally against his word. So what are
exactly?
Here's another quote. Women get angry because your cheating takes their power away. What the heck? It takes their power away. If you are not a high-value man, you should not get married. Stay out of there and whore around. Really? Okay.
Wow.
They like when you put their foot on your head. This is women. We like it when a man puts his foot on their head. See,
I don't know who his
father is. No, he's teaching our men to be pimps. That's what he's doing.
Well, he's teaching them to be very, very disrespectful. And,
absolutely.
And then, celebrate it. Celebrate sin. That's all they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting it from Egyptology, and he's getting it from the old school dudes. Because I know some old school dudes who are teaching in the media, who have written books, and they were on this kind of thought. They had this kind of thought. Yeah, and that is definitely Egyptology.
Yeah, but you know what, Betty? Let's go back and look at the Bible. The Most High gave Adam one woman.
Exactly.
And even when she messed up, he didn't give Adam another woman. Nor was Adam sleeping with his sisters and daughters. Okay?
No.
Adam had one wife. That's our blueprint right there.
Exactly.
One Holy Spirit, and there's one Holy Spirit. Say that again.
Christ said in the beginning, it was not so.
That's what he said.
said all those wives, because they came to him saying, Moses told us we could get a divorce.
Uh-huh.
And he said, in the beginning, it was not so.
And then you talk
about
the Holy Spirit. When you talk about the Holy Spirit, self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. You need to have self-control. But I don't want to...
There's only one Holy Spirit.
But what we're trying to talk about... Yes, exactly. Only one Holy Spirit. And so, but the thing that we're trying to say is when you are sitting here thinking of ways of dealing with a marriage or to get married or all of that, you better go buy the blueprint of the scriptures and the scriptures alone. Because anytime you step outside of the scriptures, you're going to bring in something that the devil has to offer for you.
That's right.
And that's all it is here. And if you're interested in that, haven't we had enough of the tree of good and evil? Haven't we had enough of that already? Where you do learn a lot of different things. You smoke some weed and have sex, you'll learn a lot of different things. You use drugs and do these things. But is that what the Most High wants? He said to be babes in evil.
Yeah.
There's no reason for us as a people to go into the garbage can to eat. It hasn't gotten to that part yet. It's going to be a famine. It hasn't gotten here yet to that point. Like, we're able to eat and eat good, and we don't have to eat like that. We don't have to settle for that. And it's not going to, like, go over our head. At some point, it will impact us in a negative way, because it's like putting, what's that scripture, putting new wine or old wine. You can't mix the two.
Well, you know, the one
thing. But you know, the fight continues. The
fight
and Israel, it continues. The fight between Kemet.
Well, the thing is, we know it continues, but when we invite it in, that is crazy.
When we say yes to sin,
that's the problem.
But it is the untaught and the unlearned that invites it in.
No, it's not, Betty.
Those feelings and inklings that have not really made up their mind, they hear something that appeals to them, even though they're in this word and they have heard the elders, but it speaks something to what they're really thinking and they have not really dealt with. Because a lot of Israelites, they think about two women. They think about polygamy.
Right, right. But it's just
once,
like with any other sin, though.
Once it's thrown in, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good men.
This is the honest truth.
And so it doesn't matter, you know, whether you learn it or not, you definitely don't need to be messed up in that. Let's take a look at some of our learned books. Deacon Jamal talked about how Titus left the truth. We have epistles from him. Look at Solomon. He's deep in the word.
Right.
Wandered away. Why? Running after women. Running after women outside of the word. It's not just people that are unlearned.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
It's people who, I guess, when you let your guard down, when you change your focus, you move your focus off of the Most High. That's what it is. Because David, they said he was up on top of that roof, and he started looking at the wrong stuff, you see?
Yeah.
And that's how it started. His focus changed. And as soon as your focus changed, that's the problem.
And he was supposed to be. Yeah, it said it was the time the kings went to war, and he was up there. He stayed home and went up there and looked on to Bathsheba. She wasn't after him; he was after her.
And it's all about
double-minded.
What we're trying to say is, you can become double-minded. When you don't
play,
you know, Elder Gabbar says the devil is a worthy adversary. Don't play in his camp. Don't
play
in there because you're going to get hurt out there. And so one of the brothers in the church said to me that it's because the women are not submitting. And that's what Kevin Samuels is teaching the women how to submit.
I think he's teaching them how to submit.
Teaching the women how to submit according to what?
According to him. I don't think he's teaching them to submit. I think he's teaching them to permit. Permit. P-E-R-M-I-T. Oh, let me just permit him to do anything. That's submission. That's not submission.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
That's not according to the Most High's word.
That's the type of thing that keeps us as a people, as Israel, as a people. It keeps us on a roller coaster. We don't know from day to day what we believe, and it brings a lot of confusion into the body. It's like everybody believing whatever they believe, whatever they feasting off doing that week. You know, I don't know how a person like that can be listening to the teaching that we're getting and then mix it with something like that. That's like black and white.
Right, right. Because the Bible says whatever members you submit to, whoever you submit your members to, that's who is your master.
That's the truth.
Take your body and submit it to something that's evil. That's who your master is, the devil. So it's not like we're fooled, but we put a spin on it so it doesn't look that bad. You know, it's like, it's not that bad. Because that's how homosexuality creeps into the churches when they just say, well, you know what? It's not really that bad. He was born that way. Or they'll make up some excuse. You know what I'm saying? Everything gets in there when we decide to start putting a spin on it. Or what do you say when you start? You change everything so you justify compromising the word of God. Because you know deep in your heart it's wrong. I don't know any of us who ever just sinned and said, I'm not sure this is sin. I don't think I've ever had that question come up in my head. Well, this is not a sin. I start making up stuff. Well, you know what? It is partly something that God wants us to be happy. Or you know what I'm trying to say?
You start rationalizing.
But when you sin, you know you sin because you start moving further away from the Most High, and you can feel it.
Yes.
You know it.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is with young people, they are so impressionable. And a lot of these young women will agree to polygamy. They will agree to the man dating two women together.
They feel they won't lose their man if they do this. It's not because they believe this is a godly act. They believe this is going to help them keep their man. That's why they're doing that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And so what he asked was, do you appear to be the type of man women want to have sex with? If you are not the man women want to cheat with, then you have a problem. See, now, what kind of, I'm
rhetoric
sick of
is that?
Thinking, even listening to the stuff that he's saying, but it, and
that's vanity.
Those are direct quotes.
Vanity and it's highest.
Yeah, it's disgraceful for him to say things like that and for us to think it's okay to continue to listen to anybody. Right. But I knew it would go there. You know, he's saying things that's helping people. No, how's this helping? Roll this around in your mouth. That part we don't listen to. Don't tell me that. Maybe you in particular, but I guarantee you there's going to be a fallout over it because then to do what happened in the Garden of Eden, blame the woman, because you know what? Just as sure as you're having problems today, stand up and be a man. Because if there's something that a man wants and doesn't want, he knows how to stop it. He knows how.
That's
you
right.
Know, sometimes standing back in the background and allowing the woman to do what she's doing because it's easier.
It is.
You know?
As elder women, we have to say so.
That's
you know,
right.
We have
these
to.
These young men, they are subject to us as mothers.
That's right.
So this is why
when I first heard this,
I had told to you, Shirley, remember? I said, how did you think about this guy, Kevin Samuels? Because he seemed like he was trying to come in and cause discord among believers.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's exactly what he
was doing. Calling himself a believer. But let me read this. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to go to the 17th verse. It says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own
body.
What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Now, when you're sitting there running around having this extracurricular activity with this additional woman, you're inviting the Holy Spirit in the bed with you and this woman. Now, how is that godly?
Number two,
the wisdom of Solomon. My husband and I were reading that yesterday. That's the book we're reading. And it said the Holy Spirit will not abide in a body that's committing sin. So now, what do we do with these scriptures if we even contemplate listening to Kevin Samuels?
And you know, but these men are arguing with me, telling me that they're not listening to him, telling them to do that, but they are listening about the fact, they're calling it, that their women are not submitting. Now, so what about the woman that is there that she's not submitting? Because she opens her mouth. I gave the example of that husband that tried to sell the house for $10,000 when the realtor came by. And the wife refused to let it happen because, number one, the house was given to her by her parents, and the husband wanted to sell the house for 10 grand because it sounded like a lot of money. Now, a house, he wanted to just sell it. So she did not submit to that. Is that submission or what is that?
Wisdom.
There you go.
You know, do you think that when a young man meets a young woman, fall in love, she's already submissive. She's going to do everything she can
everything,
to please him.
Everything.
Everything. And then
that's
until
right.
He messes up. They'll have a few children, and then he messes up. Now she's at mercy, and she can't trust him anymore, or she might not trust any man anymore to be submissive. But they start this stuff first.
Yes, if this man, and this is what I say, if you want to listen to somebody, find somebody that's teaching that man how to love that woman, because he'll give him anything he wants, anything.
This is why on the last show
when we talked about, these women, what they're asking, and you have them on Kevin Samuels. No, I want a house. We all tell those lies. And I call them lies because we're willing to live in a car with you as long as you continue to tell us you love us. We're willing to do it.
As long as you're there.
That's right.
No, I'm too old for that.
Betty, ain't nobody. Okay, here I'm going to get in trouble. Ain't nobody talking about you, Betty. No.
But you know what else is the problem? There always seems to be two sets of rules. Man's rule, and he's saying a man has the right to do this, but women have no right. You understand? Mm-hmm. It's like, mm-hmm. and men believe that. They believe if a man got married and he was a virgin, that would be a shame. But a woman, mm-hmm. that's what's supposed to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Men
mm-hmm.
believe these things. Women feel like, you know, they should be a virgin. But if they, even a woman might think in her mind, too, why would a man be a virgin? Because we've never heard of it.
Yeah, but we've heard arguments. We've heard arguments on the both sides, Chi-Chi. We've heard where a man married a virgin and was angry because she didn't know nothing sexually.
Yeah.
Smart.
She didn't have, she didn't know what to do. So it, you can get foolishness on all sides of the fence. The bottom line is learn how to love somebody. Learn how
That's
to
it.
Love them the way Christ loved the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
Because
ringing.
What I don't understand is why don't you want just that one special person than having a whole lot of mixed up? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What does the scripture say? Drink the water from your own cistern.
Right.
What? To drink out of somebody else's fountain,
what would happen too if the world was to come to an end, you know, and you saw a disaster. What is this man doing? Okay, he's going to run with his wife, the girl he loves. He's not running after all these women he's had all these affairs with. You understand what I'm saying? You look for that person that has been loyal to you. If this is, you know, if everything is coming to an end, that's what you're going to be looking for. You're not looking for this person you hardly know.
Exactly. And then again, I'm going to say it again. If you're out there fooling around, who are you violating?
Yes.
Who is it?
Is it your cousin?
They violating their own body.
No, not well. They're definitely violating their own body. The scripture says that. But I mean, if there's a chick that you're fooling around with, who is it? Who's left out there? Somebody else's wife, aunt, or is it your child? Are you willing to send your child out there to have an affair with this man that feels like he needs to have an extracurricular activity? Who's he having it with?
You know, the young man said that we don't know how to take critique because we have critiqued them for so long, and now that we come in and we're getting corrected, we can't hear it, which is another lie.
Yeah, I heard him say that too. I heard him say
that. Feel like, because if you look at all the women shows, all the shows. It was always brought, families was brought on, and they talked about what was going on in the problem, if it was concerning a man and what happened, but they offered counsel. Nobody was judged there. Kevin Samuel, and then they talk about the color purple, how it was degrading. But it wasn't, because Mr. redeemed himself, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
It showed about the problems and that occurred in black families, but he redeemed himself. If you look at all the other movies, I mean, why are they telling these lies?
Yeah.
Because the devil is the father of lies.
Yes. And but, what we're finding a lot of times is when you say, you get a woman, Lord knows she will stay with that man and stay with that man. So one of the brothers said, well, then why are there so many divorces if women are submitting? Why are there so many marriages broken up if women are submitting? Is that what you think? Why all marriages are broke up? Because the woman is not submitting? Are you kidding me? It's like, okay, she's walked away. Finally, or probably not walked away, because most of the time the woman didn't go nowhere. The man left her. And why? Mm-hmm. Usually because that man now wants something. She's saying to him, you know what? I can't carry this anymore. You got to get a job. I can't carry this anymore. You got to watch the children. I can't carry this anymore. You got to bring home some money. You got to help me out. Oh, no, I ain't got to do nothing. I'm out of here. How many times have we seen that? How many times have we seen that? Now you got a woman out here a low-value woman with four or five children that has been violated, and she's no longer a submissive woman because this is who she's left. And, I mean, I'm not saying there aren't women out there that are fools. Yeah. I know that. That are doing things that are wrong. I just have to say, personally and right in company of, I don't know any. In my office, I worked with high-level women and men. I mean, graduates from Columbia, all of these places, and I watched to see who they married. They were not in the church. Most of them married men that didn't even have jobs.
Mm-hmm.
No jobs at all, let alone good jobs. Because
or somewhere
they
to live.
Wanted a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to be in a relationship.
I totally agree with that, Shirley.
Yes.
You are so right. Women have to submit, they submit themselves. I've seen it also. Women are very submissive. It's
yes, they are.
Bred in us. It was born in us.
Yes.
And so we are hurt. And so we talk, we've taken it and taken it and taken it.
And you stay there and you take it. And okay, maybe there are some of us that take it but have some lip service to go with it.
Yes. Mm.
Now, those of us that are in the truth.
I would say some women are very submissive. Not all women are submissive. Some of us are.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Because some women, maybe they choose a man that's not working because they want to be in control and wink the eye like Jada.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that, sister.
I mean, it's just an opinion.
I don't agree with that.
I know
what you're saying, but I, you know, like a lot of times I've heard people say that, you know, a woman that's getting her tail beat by a man, well, she wants to get her behind beat. What the heck? No. Or she likes getting beat. No, she doesn't. She's putting up with it and she's dealing with it because that's what, that's all there is at that moment. But
that's right.
She got children.
They don't know how to get out. Sometimes they were embarrassed.
Exactly.
And they're scared. And they don't know what to do. These things are complicated. They're very
complicated. And that's why that's all we're saying is the last thing we need is something added in to make this complicated situation even worse. What we need is the word of God. We need men learning how to love their wives, women learning how to love their husbands. And the scripture says for the older women to teach the younger women how to love their wives, not Kevin Samuels, their husbands.
That's
not
correct.
Kevin.
That's right.
The older women, we're here. We're here to teach these women how to shut the H up and get in there and deal with it. Because whenever we talk to people and deal with them, that's exactly what we do. We teach them to hate their husbands.
Yeah, and that's such a huge part of submission is learning how to listen, learning how to just keep, not say everything that you think. You can't speak everything that you think.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Right.
My God.
In most cases, and that takes a lot of control and a lot of teaching, just listening to the right people. The worst thing anybody in a marriage can do is go to the wrong person for advice. You
there
know,
you go.
Friends
there you
or
go.
Somebody that's ungodly. And we have to always, I think, remember that Satan, he doesn't show up and say, I'm the devil. He shows up, he's witty, he's crafty. You know,
yeah.
He shows up
that's
with some good stuff. And that's just to bait us in. But then when we get in there, we got to have ears to discern, okay, is this, this is not lining up with what I've been taught. This is not lining up with the word.
That's right.
And then let me ask you this, and this may be a hard topic. What about when you have a man and a woman? Haven't you seen relationships that have been together for years, 20, 30, 40 years, and you take a glimpse into that marriage, and you're saying to yourself, why does it look like that woman is running the house? Why does it look like that? The question may be, is that man capable of running whatever that house is? Is he capable? Mm-hmm. And are they managing together to do whatever they... Doesn't mean he's not the head. But she is doing a lot of things, buying land, taking care of the business, being that so-called virtuous woman. But her and her husband are getting along well and living together for years. Are we to tell them to cut it out?
Right. You know, it's a very interesting thought, because think of it. The scripture says that we are their helpers. And I think I went over this before, that I think it's the word ezer or azar in Hebrew. And it means second in command, or like viceroy. And it's a military term. Now think about Joseph, all the power he had in Egypt.
Exactly.
All the decision making he was doing while the king went off and did kingly thing, or Pharaoh did the Pharaoh thing. But in the meantime, Joseph was running the show, and everyone had respect for him. Isn't a wife like that? Where she's managing the temperature of the house, she's cooking the meal, she's raising the children, she's, as you said, buying a piece of land and selling it, and allowing her husband to manage the home, manage his job, come home knowing there's a hot meal, his kids are well fed, and that his wife is there to greet him. She's still making all those decisions in the home. What is it that he's asking her to submit to? What else?
Exactly.
She's submitting to his authority. She's just not being an order taker. She's not some guy coming up to the table with a pad. What would you like today? Eggs, over easy. Bacon, fried crispy. Yes, orange juice. Yes, sir. I'll be right back. And would you like some home fries with that? Is that what they want?
Exactly. You got somebody, one brother said to me, well, you know, she's so spirited. You know, she's kind of bossy. You know what? She has to learn that she can't boss you around, but if you stand your ground, she won't. And if she's bossy, she will control your children. Have you ever seen a woman who doesn't have control of the children? All right, when daddy comes home. Okay, no. My kids better sit your behind down over there right now. You know, because you are not going to allow that. You have to have some kind of spirit in you.
Yeah, and you know what else, girls? You know, a woman, if you're yelling and screaming at her, what do you think she's going to do?
This is what I'm saying.
She's going to start yelling and screaming. She might take it for a while.
The kind word, you know, what does the scripture say? Turns away wrath. Are you speaking with kindness? Are you coming home and starting fights and asking her to, you know, yes, drill sergeant.
You know, exactly. And see, but what you're saying, Carol, is the women, someone sent me a text message. I think, I don't remember who it was, where they were, two people were having an argument. And the wife told the husband, listen, I'm not going to leave you, but I'm not leaving you because you're all of that. I'm staying with you because of God. And I'm not saying one should say that, but that's the God honest truth. The women will stay, but you will beat them down into some kind of a plowshare, and you will not be in love with that kind of a woman because she is not going to be in love with you. She will stay there, and she will cook your meals. And she, a couple of sisters I was talking to, one sister told me, no, I don't love my husband, but I stayed with him because God told me to. I mean, do you want that?
Right.
How about everybody learn how to, and I said, well, why don't you love? Because he's mean to me. He's mean and he's cruel. But I take it. I take it. What now? What yeah. is that?
Well, I think at the time the man he knows that she don't like him. I mean, he's not just plain stupid. He knows that he's hitting, knocking her around and treating her like that. He knows she don't like him. But as long as he can get away with it and get
why would he want to? Why would he want to do that? And
but
this is why.
A bad place.
Okay, so this is what I'm trying to say. This where are these issues coming from? People that give them advice like Kevin Samuels.
Yeah, look, you're a man. You're,
uh-huh.
you're a bull in the china shop. Come in there and
right.
tell them, you know, I'm a caveman and you're my wife. Really?
Yeah, that's not what he needs to hear.
No.
Definitely not what
learn,
he needs to
if
hear.
If that man learns how to love his wife, he will love her into subjection.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when people love
I know.
You do everything you can to keep them happy.
That's
you
right.
Do.
Absolutely. I remember once I was doing a lady's hair, and beautiful lady, and we were talking, and she said she got divorced after 40 years. And I said, oh, my goodness, why did you wait so long? What was it that made you wait 40 years to get a divorce? That's a long time. And she began to explain the same thing. She said her husband was this and her husband was that. But then it hit me after about over 20 years, over 25 years, and I just kind of like, ooh, I can't take no more of this, whatever that was. But I think as couples, we have to remember that just like we take our car to get the oil changed, we have to do checkups. We have to make sure we talk consulting with the right people because, really, that's what happened with me. I was talking to all my girlfriends that were single. And even, like, sometimes we would go to some of our pastors, like, going to different churches. They, you know, it's kind of like when I went, it seemed like my husband, he would look at me and he was like, okay, she getting it. I got it every time, but he didn't get it. He wasn't getting it, but I got it, and I got tired of getting it. I'm like, no, you need
they play
to get
the blame
the message,
game.
You know? Yeah. But I just think it's just a good thing to know you have to talk to the right people. If you talk to the wrong people, you are guaranteed to leave because – you know, they don't line things up with the scripture. And people, your friends, just want to take sides. They quick to, you know, yeah, girl, you should do this. Yeah, he this. And, you know, you're not even thinking. You out of your mind anyway. You're not even thinking. This person ain't even married. They're divorced themselves. So what
can
life
is
to me?
Right.
This
you
is
know?
Very
true.
Yeah.
They
want
very
you to divorce.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why the scripture says to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. And that also means ungodly counsel. Because
right.
you can have people in the church that will give you ungodly counsel.
Ungodly counsel,
really. Right.
And they were in the church.
And they think it's right. And that's the scary part. And you're looking up mm-hmm. to them like they know what they're talking about. But you know
mm-hmm.
what? Kevin Samuels married twice, divorced. He,
mm-hmm.
I don't think he's married now. How can he give a
no,
married
not.
Person any advice?
Exactly.
It's just
exactly.
Sick.
No, because he wants. It's the same thing that went on in the Garden of Eden. You blame somebody else for your wrong. Instead of
yeah.
looking
uh-huh.
at, instead of looking at yourself and saying, "What can I do to make this better?" What
mm-hmm.
So what do we do, Cheryl, as women, when you say, what must I do to make it better? Let's all start trying to make sure we're talking tender to everyone that we know.
Everyone.
Husbands
mm-hmm.
and children. Just get in the habit of talking with a tender tone.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
way you know
no.
that
no.
we're not paying
and
that
evaluate ourselves.
and examine ourselves.
I love that what
you know?
She said, Sister Jackie, about getting those checkups and changing the oil and
all of that stuff,
rotating the tires.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And let's not forget that we have to start looking better. We do.
Yeah.
For those of us that are overweight, we do need to clean that up. For our health.
I got a testimony about that. When I was going through, like, in my marriage, I was working. I was wearing so many hats. I was the captain of everything you could think of. So it got to the point in my marriage, I made sure I was clean, but I did not look in the mirror. And one day I passed by my mirror, and I happened to look, and I like to stare at myself. I'm like, who is this? And I said, what does she like? Who is this? I was so out of touch with myself. And that's the worst thing we could do. It's like I let myself go. And so it's like now the Most High has built me back up. So people don't know your story, what you've gone through. It's like I take pleasure in fixing myself up because for a long season I did not. I didn't. You know, I got the kind of hair, I could just pull it back in a ponytail, and that's just what I did, if I did that.
let me just say this, though.
We're not to let ourselves get like that. That's super stressed out.
Let me say this, Jackie. I'm going to say this. There's a whole another side to that coin, too, because there are sisters that are being dogged because they're overweight. And if and when these sisters do get it together, spoke to at least two sisters that I know that were able to pull it together and started losing that weight, went to the gym, got themselves in order, and once they did, they left their husband. They left him.
Wow.
Because they felt like, you know what, I was no good. I was no good when I was overweight. You didn't want me. Now all of a sudden I'm good enough for you. Get the heck out of here. And then here you go, like you said, there were so many other people noticing them that they had all these options out there. And I'm not saying these are godly women either. They're not godly women. But you cannot.
She said sometimes it's the reverse, like the men do the same thing. But we as God,
so they get mad at you for losing the weight.
But we do need to start looking at the temple of God and taking care of it. And I know for myself that I am working on me, and I have dropped quite a bit. But, you know, I got a long way to go still. And I encourage anyone out there on that battle, you know, that we continue
to fight.
It's a life.
It's a commitment every day.
You have to commit to it every day.
It's such a beautiful thing. Yes. It's a beautiful thing. You can learn to love yourself. If you don't like what you see, change it. You don't like how you feel, change it. Nobody else can change that for you. You got to change it for yourself. Some things other people can't do for you. I can't change your diet for you, but you can. And then you need to surround yourself by people that are going to build you up, not just people that's just so satisfied with the status quo, but they see something greater in you than you can see even in yourself. Because it's so important to do
that. The truth.
You don't have to settle for being fat. If you don't like to be fat, change it.
That's one of the problems. You got to get out of depression. So you need stay in the word more.
Mm-hmm.
You got to fall in love with yourself and realize that you can manage it, because if you're depressed, you know that depression is going to end up with comfort food. It always does.
Yeah, and you know what? I want Sister Aura to tell us a little something about what you've done to make yourself look better, Sister Aura. one of your daily
it hasn't
things
been that great.
You
I mean,
do.
It's not it's much. But all of
but I mean,
I knew it was really, it started out with health problems. I started having all these health issues. But the medication that they were giving me was really making me sick. But, you know, I could hardly walk for 5 minutes without getting out of breath. So then I actually started walking, and then I found that I could walk 15 minutes. Then I stretched it out to a half an hour. So now I'm walking an hour a day, 5 days a week. So, and I feel so much better, and I'm not on any medication. So
yeah.
I'm just saying,
come on now.
You can do it. You have to push yourself, though, and you have to, you know, you have to be encouraged and have people around you, like Carol said, that encourage you. You know, like my sisters will call each other up and tell us, you know, what we've done, and they'll say, that's great, you know. But I'm saying, when you start feeling better about yourself, because now I don't feel like I'm as old as I was, even though I'm old, I don't feel that old.
And you know,
let me just tell you something. She got so cocky and so crazy that she challenged my 34-year-old daughter to a race. Is she losing her mind or something?
You know. It's like, you know, I felt like saying,
I was playing. I was trying to encourage them. That's why I said,
let us reason together. You know?
Exactly.
Her daughter.
I'm just saying because... You know how we cannot tell our daughters anything? We can't tell them anything because they know more than we do.
We laughed so hard. She said, I'd smoke her.
but the bottom line is, let's get together and let's do that. And I know there's another couple of people that are struggling with that. And it doesn't help when the husbands are saying bad things about you.
Husbands shouldn't do that. Let me tell you something that they did at our congregation.
We had a sister who lost a lot of weight too, and so she did a thing called getting fit or something. What is it? Something she said, get fit. But they all get on Zoom and they do these exercises together.
Yeah,
and I think it's pretty cool.
They're doing some weightlifting. The sister starting a weightlifting thing on Zoom. But I want to tell you guys something about my husband. First of all,
I just joined Lisa's class. Forget about it. She's gonna kill me. You know. I just joined my daughter's exercise class. My daughter's the choreographer.
Wow.
And so
Sunday, to break a couple of bones.
I know she's getting ready to beat the crap out of me, but I've joined. So go ahead.
I just wanted to say that my husband shocked me on the Sabbath and called me up to the front and, you know, honored me as being a good wife and what have you. And it wasn't planned, and that was something that was so beautiful. I do want to say this about my husband. Out of all the years that we've been married, he's never, ever called me fat, and I have been very fat.
Isn't that
beautiful? But he's never, ever made me feel bad about my weight. No matter what, he'd always go, no, you're fine, honey, you're fine. You know, just being kind to me about that. He didn't have to rub it in. Yeah, you need to. He never did that.
And you know,
I'm so grateful.
That's a beautiful thing. And he never, ever says anything to me about being overweight. But when I lose the weight, he's like, it's just like madness. You know, when I lose the weight, the only thing I do need to say is, it was maybe 3 years ago, and I got down to optimal weight, and I really was looking great. Some of the attention that I was getting was a little difficult to deal with for him. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not using that as an excuse to stay fat, but I'm just saying he never, ever bugs me about being overweight or you look too fat or act like, you know, he says, I'm attracted to you. I don't know what you're talking about. And I go, yeah, we know all about it. But not less. We all need to make sure we're at our best. We really do.
That's right.
We have
That's
to
right.
make sure
we do.
We're at our best, because the scripture says all that the hand finds to do with thy very might. So we're going to have to do these things. And let's get together as sisters and push it hard. Push hard for
yeah.
it. And help the younger
Encourage
sisters.
Encourage each other to do better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do better in our homes as far
and
as
And when we are
food,
struggling, the
that.
Worst thing that we can do when we're struggling is to get by ourselves, you know. It's just
exactly.
so important to know that it's somebody you can talk to, because when we get depressed or all those spirits just come in, it's like rejection, everything,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
We get attacked mentally, and we need to have somebody in our lives that we can get in touch with that can help us. We can encourage ourselves, but maybe somebody else is more encouraged at that time. You can reach
That's right.
out to. The worst thing you can do is stay at home and just be to yourself and
Stop
just tend
inspired.
To your rejection and hug your rejection and hug your depression and all that stuff.
Exactly.
You got to kick it out. You got to pull it up by the roots.
We got some callers in the queue. Let's bring in some callers.
Good.
Area code 704. You're on with the Daughters of Zion. Area code 704. You're on with the Daughters of Zion. Would you like to add to this table talk? Area code 704. You got 2 minutes. Okay. To the next caller. Area code 512. You're on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
Shalom, my sisters.
Shalom. How are you?
Shalom.
For those who don't know me, it's Sister Diane from Killeen, Texas, and I need two sisters to read for me. So, who would like to read for me?
Carol, you have your scripture right there.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so you go ahead and read. And Sister, good Lord.
I
tell me where
do
you
it
want
if
me to go.
Tell me where you want me to go.
Yeah.
Okay. So Proverbs 18.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Verse 7.
All right. 7. Proverbs 18, verse 7. Is it just 7 you want? Nothing else?
Yes, 7. Mm-hmm.
Okay. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul.
Mm. Okay, so I don't know. So I don't know this Kevin person.
You sound like that lady last week talking about Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but you know, it's just this whole conversation that you're having. I feel like I'm getting to know him. So the Proverbs 18:7 came to mind, and then the other scripture that comes to mind, and I believe this is what all of us should be doing, is Ephesians chapter 5.
Okay, you got that, Aura? What's good?
Okay, I'll
that.
Get it. If you
That's
got
okay.
it first,
Ephesians
it.
5, go on, what's the verse?
Verses 11, 12, and 13.
All right, rock and roll. Ephesians 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest doeth make the light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Beautiful.
Point.
Keep going, you said?
You want to bring something out, man.
And now just 11, 12, and 13. So, and then I'm wondering, why are we listening to whoever this person is, Kevin? If he's been divorced two times, and if he's not currently married. Now, if he was all of this greatness, then why aren't women knocking down his door? So I'm a little confused about that. I mean, if we, it's not like we can't give advice if we, we've been divorced. I mean, you learn things from that, I guess. Anything that we do, we can learn from, whether it be something that we let go of or something that we're successful in. I don't really like success and failure per se, because I think there's a learning experience in all that we do. But I'm not saying just because he's been divorced twice, but once is okay, so you can learn from that, but then twice, and now he's still not with a woman. So, but then how can he give advice to anybody, to any man or to any woman, if he's in this situation? And I just don't understand, but these are the two scriptures that come to mind, and I guess that's it for me. I don't know what else to say.
Well, I thought it was beautiful work.
It was perfect. It was perfect.
It was.
And that's the thing about the Word of God. It's always perfect. Why
yes,
do we need anything else?
Yes. Even when they come out with, you know, Confucius said and all these other people, anything you can bring out, you'll find it in Scripture, just rewritten in another way.
Right.
That's all.
Yes, exactly.
Well, from all the great states, sayings and all the special words, begin with the end in mind, all those things, it's in Scripture already.
It's in Scripture. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Scripture
says no, you know what it is? I guess it's because you really, Most High says, we really have to be seeking him. But, you know, if we're not doing that, everything else, you turn on the TV, you look at your phone, you're getting all this information, and you're just letting yourself be comfortable and just taking in this information that you shouldn't be taking in. You know,
we
really have to be searching. He said, seek him always. That's what his word says. But,
when you seek him with your whole heart, that's when you'll find
him. That's right. That's when you're going to find him. That's exactly right.
But let me throw out there, Sheila, what this one of the brothers said. And this is why we're still belaboring this issue, because, you know, when I was listening to the brothers, I really wanted to just scratch every one of them up. But he said, I said to him, everything is in Scripture. Everything that you're saying, that he's saying, is already in Scripture. Yeah, I
what?
Said it's in the Bible. He said to me, the Bible is not worth it.
The Bible is what? What did he say?
It's not working. That's when
it's
I put my hand on
it. If we don't
knife.
Use it.
That's when I put my hand on my knife.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm telling you, it's like you're saying the Word of God, you're putting him over the Word of God? I can't.
Yeah.
You know? I can't do it.
This is
very,
this is so sad, Charles. This is so sad.
The women, that the Word of God is not working for the women because they're not following it.
That's what he's saying.
It's not working, therefore
we need 7 Samuels to bring it out.
To tell us, exactly.
That's what he said.
To set us straight.
Yeah. There's not one word that a man telling me I'm a low-value woman, I need to go out and look for somebody lower, what's wrong with a man? none of that is helping me. Number one, because I'm already looking for a blue collar or maybe someone that doesn't even have a collar. I'm already looking for that kind of man. What are you talking about? I only said I want a high-value man making a whole lot of money, because I know that's the textbook answer. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what everybody would want, you know.
But
okay, let's bring in another caller. Yeah, this is what I'm saying. It went to San Quentin to get a man. And that's the way it is. You brought him home and you don't know why he's not getting a job. Hey, let's take another call here. Area code 816, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion. Area code 816.
Shalom. I chimed in last week. I'm so glad we're speaking on this topic again. And I chimed in last week. I was the one who said I was a Kevin Samuels fan. but that was more so, and now that I'm looking back, it was more so in the earlier 2021, you know, during that time. But I don't want to make it about Kevin Samuels. My heart really just goes out to the men who are complaining about their wives who are in this truth.
Yes.
Because like you said, we have the Bible. This is our instruction. And the bigger picture is Christ is coming back.
Amen.
And if I can just tell y'all real quickly my testimony. When I met my husband, I was in the world. He was in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after we became married, when I wasn't even ready, honestly, because I didn't know the duties of a wife, and I didn't know what was expected of me. But I slowly started to learn, but I bumped my head a whole lot and was even causing my own husband to fall, who was this godly man. And I felt really burdened by that and guilty by that, and it didn't hit me till 2020 when I realized how precious a man is and how precious my head is and how grateful and thankful I am to have this direction and instruction from this man, this protector and this provider. And so I'm trying to get some good right. I'm listening to Elder Ricard when he was going in on us women in 2020. Elder Ricard speaking about all women need to get the Fascinating Womanhood book by Ellen or Helen Stepton. And then Kevin Samuels followed shortly after. And I must be from the tribe of Jacob because I needed a sign. And that sign was Kevin Samuels, you know, and Elder Ricard. And guess what? My husband been telling me all of these things. And I just felt so guilty. And I was like, okay, self-work has to be done because Christ is coming back. And it's going to be 144,000 men sealed with their household. If my husband don't make it, I may not make it. And, you know, there's examples of men who fell in the scriptures, and then their whole family fell with them. But then there's also examples of Ahab and Abigail, how he was evil and she was good. So I'm just saying, as women, we need to look at ourselves and really, really work on ourselves and go to our husband for instruction and advice and improvement. Listen to what that man is telling you to work on and work on, because this should help you. Like, you know.
Sister, what was the name of that book?
The first
Fascinating
book.
Fascinating Womanhood.
Okay.
And she has YouTube videos. Her name is Helen Wendelin. She's an older Edomite lady. She is the epitome of femininity, and she lives to serve her husband. I haven't seen nothing like it. She loves serving her husband.
That's
and so
a wonderful
every day
book.
I'm Yes, every day I'm looking and researching on how to be more feminine, how to be a wife, because we all, as wives and women, don't we want our husbands to call us blessed, as Proverbs 31 says?
Absolutely.
So that's the goal, and the last thing I want to say is just a scripture from 1 Peter 2:18 that Elder Gabar brought out some years ago. When he was speaking about how women is to be under subjection to their husbands, even if it leads to death, but not in a sense of doing something unrighteous. He was just speaking about there was a storm going on the East Coast. The wife was pressuring her husband to leave ahead of the storm. He decided he wanted to leave during the middle of the storm, and Elder Gabar was like, that woman, she should have still gotten that car and left with her husband in the middle of the storm because she is a wife and she is to be obedient, even if it meant they were going to die. And that woke me up. That blew my mind because I'm like, really? This is what I signed up for. Okay. So he had brought out the scriptures, servants be subject to your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. And that's just what I wanted to leave y'all with.
And that's a beautiful thing, sister. You know, and we definitely want in our lives to walk in kind of righteousness.
You're breaking up, Cheryl.
I'm sorry. We definitely want to teach us to do exactly that, to be that kind of life. I know my sister Carol and I, when we were younger, even before The Truth, we read this book called The Total Woman. And she was an Edomite woman. So it's not like we're considering that you can't touch anything that's, you know, not exactly the Bible. But I feel like if it's outside of the Bible, don't mess with it. Do you understand?
She was a Christian woman.
She was a Christian woman. And she gave us good advice how to live. How to help take care of your home and how to look right and how to live feminine. And that was long before any of this that you want. This is something that should be and is inbred in most of us, that we want to be feminine. We want to look right. We want to be what our husbands want us to be. It's just that in some instances, the world has beat the crap out of us. And we start to think that if we could rise up and do something else, we'll be better off. And in my head, too, sometimes wisdom does come through because the woman does have information for her husband. The scripture says she was put there as a helpmeet. And if he's coming up with something that doesn't make any sense, that woman is there to say, honey, what do you think of this? She's there for that reason. And that doesn't mean that you're not being submissive. You're doing what the scripture says. Is he the last word? He sure is. He's the last word. If he can't come up with something, then that's between you and the Savior, which way you go. But nonetheless, you are definitely there to help him because it depends on your husband. Does he have it? You need to be able to challenge him and say, honey, I think you need to look at it this way. And hopefully, if he can receive it, you can help him see something that maybe he might not see.
For my marriage, that was our problem. I always had a rebuttal. And no matter how nicely I put it, can you consider this? Do you see it this way? He always looked at it as talking back.
I'm glad you recognized what your problem was. I'm glad you recognized that.
This is what I learned to do. I learned to pray to the Most High, like, okay, Father, he says to go right. So then I learned to pray to the Most High, and then next thing I know, it turned out the way I wanted it to, how I thought was best.
Go ahead. Go on, finish what you were saying.
Well, I was just going to say, or it just worked out perfectly. Like, I was able to see it his way, and it worked out great. But instead of being combative or rebuttaling, I just follow along, and if I don't agree, I put it in the Most High's hands. I literally put it in his hands, and he makes it work out each and every time, and there's no disagreement.
100%. Because I want to tell you something. In our church, we have Married Couples Fellowship, and one of the first challenges that we were given was to, for the next 30, 31 days, to not challenge anything that your husband says. You're not miserable. Well, not miserable, because things ended up turning out nicely. But I said, I was just like walking out of the room like, is she crazy? And, you know, you had to constantly think, all right, I can't respond. I just have to do it and believe. And things did work out.
It was definitely taking me out
of my comfort zone.
My husband don't like me telling him nothing. You don't. My husband don't like me telling him nothing at all.
And it's just order.
And
it's
so
just
you
order.
Learn,
just
you learn who
that
your,
order.
You learn who your husband is. You learn
mm-hmm.
whether or not he's willing to take something or whether you it's time to shut up. You learn that. And
that's
so
study
just,
to be quiet,
just quiet,
right?
I like to be quiet.
You know, or when you're in the car with him and he's lost,
mm-hmm.
but he won't pull up Google or ask anybody for directions.
Oh my God!
It's like,
oh my
I'm
God!
I'm just going to pray the most high. I'm going to take my mind somewhere else. Because
this
is
I be wiggling on the other side of this seat, trying my best not to say a word, trying my best, and we just driving 15, 20 minutes out the way, and I'm going do. It's not easy. It's not easy. But you know what?
Yeah.
It depends on who you're with, and if they, because
yeah.
I've seen it the other way around. I've seen it where there's a sister, and you know. She's constantly telling him, no, honey, go that way. And he's good. Oh, okay. And he's good going that way, you know.
Right.
But it's, learn, you dwell with your spouse in knowledge, you know.
Yeah.
And
you get
a rhythm,
what
too.
Kind of man.
You get a rhythm. And
yeah.
you get
yeah.
a rhythm, Cheryl. Because not everything is bad for him to deal with versus listen, we come out of the development where I live at, and you can make a right on the first street or you can make a right on the second street. However, the second street has two additional stop signs. And
uh-huh.
you don't know how I have to bite my lip because my husband going to two additional stop signs, and I'm just like inside
right.
screaming.
I'm
fighting down hard to be quiet because I know he's going to do it. And it's
yeah.
like someone said
right.
to us once I'm on the program, the guy said, because the woman called up and said, I've been married for 20 years and that man can't be on time. And the man said something very simple. He said, after 20 years, you're still not understanding he's going to be late, so why are you complaining? You know this is what he's going to do.
Right? Why are you upset?
I said to myself, he's so right. Why do we do that? Oh, I know you're going to be late. Why do we do that? I don't know. It's
no.
like a bad habit. We've got to break those bad habits.
Yeah.
Yes, we
do. Bad habits. And then there are things that we do, and we cannot start to train our husbands because the Most High and I sat by. There was a time when my husband was going, I don't know what he was going through, but for years he was just annoyed. Then all of a sudden he just pulled out of it and stopped being annoyed and just turned back into that nice guy. And I didn't know what was going on, but I didn't argue about it. I didn't complain. I didn't make a mistake. I just, now, did I cry by myself sometimes? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Because even though you got to do these things, it's not like it doesn't hurt. It hurts,
mm-hmm.
and there's pain, and you have to deal with it. This is where you learn, you meet Christ, and you
yeah.
learn how to walk with Christ. And this is where the sisterhood
mm-hmm.
comes, where you reach out to your sisters, and they give you godly advice on how
right.
to manage your way through those times.
You
because
know something, Cheryl, that's true, because sometimes the anger or whatever is in him isn't even about you.
No. Mm-hmm.
It's about something that took place outside of the house, and mm-hmm. you're just the person that ends up getting the bad end of it.
Exactly.
And the Bible says a kind word turns away wrath, right?
Yeah.
Maybe when they're talking hard, if we could just come with that kind word, maybe
yeah.
what's wrong?
It's
you know,
true,
I was watching. I just want to give y'all an example. It's a bad example, but it's an example. I don't know how many of you ever watched The Devil's Advocate, but
that's
a horrible movie.
Uh-huh.
But if you notice the wife in the beginning of the picture, she was fabulous. She'd say, yes, baby.
Maybe I ought to start talking to my husband like that. Yes, sweetie. Yes, baby.
That's funny. That's funny.
It was so kind.
Yeah, but so that our husbands can see our submission, really put on Christ, and learn how to be that way. And it's just like I said, I was going through a lot of things, but I complained to him about nothing, not one complaint. And so when you can do that, you know, it's not simple. It's not. It's not, but the Most High will work it out eventually. He will.
Yes.
Yeah. So, all right. So thank you so much for that. That was really good.
Yes, I appreciate you her calling.
How many years have you been married, sis?
Since 2018.
Okay.
We've been together since 2016.
Good. Okay. You're talking to some veterans on this phone, but that's still beautiful.
I know it. That's why I love calling in.
All right. Hang on, sis. Okay, I'm going to put you back in the queue.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Got another caller in the queue I'm going to bring in. Area code 631. You're on the air with the Daughters of Zion. Area code 631.
Shalom.
Oh, shalom.
Shalom.
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is Jocelyn here. And this is the second week in a row. It's beyond my comprehension why we keep bringing the stranger in our house. You know, this is a stranger that we're bringing in our house. Jay doesn't do that. Another spy.
I agree with you.
Okay, all right. It's gonna blow us up here.
Don't worry. This is definitely the last week we're hearing about this. We brought it up because conversations spun off of last week's, and I couldn't.
Yes, it did. And last week was very interesting because I thought the way the message was framed as it came across my phone, I thought we were going to talk about, you know, character building or something, and we end up into this, you know, but that's all right.
You just happened to get there.
Good Lord. For those that I've never heard this man, okay, I've never seen him, never heard him, and I could care less. But this guy, you know, he's like the tree of good and evil.
Yeah,
you know, he's got there's good stuff on the tree of good and evil, but what happens? It's because the tree of good and evil, it's limited. When you pick off all the good, you're going to run out of good stuff, and all you're going to be is left is that malignant root. You see what I'm saying? So just stay on that. You know, you see what I'm saying? And I'm going back to Eden because I came to the conclusion that everything on this side of the equation has to be jerry-rigged. We don't know how we're supposed to be, okay? First man, first woman, that was a marriage. Let's look at what happened to marriage once they got on the other side. They had two girls, son, and killed the other one and ran off with his brother's wife.
Mm.
You see? Now, I want you to think about this, okay? He made his sister a widow and snatch that child up and run off somewhere, leaving the woman that he was supposed to be with mommy and daddy. Now, I don't know how this was resolved. It ain't none of my business. But let's start our foundations from there. And you'll see why it's so darn fine. Things have been out of balance since. In the 70s, Port Sam Houston down in Texas was 15 women to one man. New York City was 8 women to one man. I hate to think of what it is now. And mind you, Fort Sam Houston there's some good apples down there. You see what I'm saying? Because this is a military base. We're not talking about the incarcerated and everything else. You see, and still, you see what that number is. So this, if you look at the framework of what we've inherited, all we've got is prayer. That's all we got. You're talking about learn to love somebody. Listen, I'm trying to get to the Father. I'm trying to get to the Father because the Father held me in the palm of his hand. He took me out of the man and put flesh on me. So after he finished sculpting and carving, I opened up my big brown eyes and go, Dad, what no husband? You see what I'm saying? We put the cart before the horse here. And just for the record, number one priority, I want a man that's scared, more scared of God than I am. That's number one.
No, that's right.
That's right.
Okay? Okay, I'm very serious, and the man's got to be into me. At my age, he can't be after me because he's scared of being alone.
Yeah.
A lot of our brothers act out because they're frightened. They're frightened out of their minds.
I agree with that.
That's all I got to say, lady.
Like that, yeah,
thank
that
you.
Young covers up fear. That's the truth.
Yes. And I agree with that. And sometimes you have that, and you've got to learn how to deal with things like that. But you know, this is a hard thing because we're dealing with people that are trying to find a move. We're dealing with people that are hoarding, and then we're dealing with old fogies like us that have been married forever. And so what we're trying to do is give you a piece of what we have because we've stood the test of time. Although my first husband died like 20 years after we were married, then I'm married to this guy for 20 plus years. That's a lot of married years, you know, to be able to say how I'm dealing with a man that is not walking away from me, you know, or that I haven't killed. Either way, you know. we really, when you start talking about people that have stood the test of time, you can't give me Kevin Samuels. You can't give me people that just walked into marriage. You got to get somebody who's been in marriage that can tell you, no, sister, it ain't going to be like that. You know what I'm saying? No, brother, it ain't going to be like that. Sister, shut your mouth. Keep it quiet. Keep on praying. Keep on asking the Most High and all of that and encouraging one another to continue to walk upright. And that's
Amen.
Just the way it is. And raising our children godly. Go ahead, Beth.
What do you think of this show, All in the Family? Have you watched it?
You're talking about Edith,
his wife.
You want to see a show on submissiveness? Yeah,
he was absolutely horrible.
But
he was always
calling
her name
as a fool.
Watch it again, because when I was younger, I used to watch it and I used to think that he was terrible. Watch it again; you might see it in a different aspect. I mean you're going to still see him that he was horrible, but watch her. Take a look at that character, Edie. Take a look at her.
What are we trying to look at?
No, just see what you get from it. I mean, we're talking about TV personalities. Well, I just want you to look at this character. Archie also was a Bible. He was always in the Bible as well.
Oh, come
on. But you
I've seen he was a racist. He was a misogynist. I can't think of other words to call him.
Nor did he have a good bedside nature, the way he spoke with people. He was rude and cruel. whether he had a Bible or not, he wasn't using it a lot, because the spirit, the scripture teaches us to be different on that level. When we're really, and I'm not saying when we're laughing and joking and playing games, but when you're living in your home, that's not how you talk to people.
Mm-mm.
No, talking down to people like that. I didn't see that as being a good example of a Bible-based relationship between him and Edith. And he also made Edith look like a fool. He didn't have a lot of...
He called her dingbat.
Yeah.
So
where
you
come from?
Good thing.
And
he called everybody a name.
His reason for being prejudiced was because he said the Bible said so, that we should be separated.
Betty, you can retrieve some stuff from things that, you must have a good mind somewhere, because I'm missing a lot of that, you know. And so I'm glad
you
can.
You don't watch the shows. You got to watch all the shows. If you catch all the episodes.
Oh, I watch them.
But then I used to watch them just of the funny parts and stuff. But
yeah,
when
a lot of times I don't have the time. What I don't like is, you know, shows that come on TV that are just plain stupid. You know, that's just my opinion. You know, when I see stuff like that, but I've and I laugh. The jokes and stuff like, but I kind of outgrew it. You're telling me I'm missing something else, and I don't know. I got to send
you
to take
any spare time, any relaxing time, you can. That's a show to watch, I think.
Okay. I mean, but you could watch the Honeymooners, you know, and Alice was out of order, you know, but. He was like a dodo bird and what have you, but I don't know. I just get you can laugh at stuff like that, but as far as being examples of holiness and examples of what we want to be, I don't think I find either one of those shows to be
not an example of holiness, but as an example of her submissiveness and how
okay.
she dealt with it. How and then at some point. When he was actually in the wrong and she would rise up and he would be quiet. She would
tell her to stifle it. He would always tell her to stifle it.
And she would say, no,
her
I'm
to be,
stifle.
She was
she
just
wanted,
sad.
She
was sad.
To her, I'm not going to stifle. And she would make her point and he would absolutely listen to her.
Sister Aura, what do you got to say about that? I know you've seen those pictures.
Well, you know, it's another thing. They just ease that into our lives like they do with every other thing to make the man, either the man look small or the woman look small. At that time, it was making the woman look small. Now the tables have turned. You know, the men, every father is made to be a buffoon. And the children are running the show. So, you know, it's whatever agenda they're pushing at that time.
Go ahead, Aura.
No, I'm just saying we tend to laugh at it, but when we really look back at it in retrospect, it seems like, well, why were we looking at that? You know what I'm saying? It was very funny, you know, but
if I had to look at a relationship not based on the Bible per se on the television, I liked the Cosby's.
The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
I knew it.
I liked the way the husband and the wife related to one another.
Interaction.
I liked how they dealt with the children, even though they did not pick themselves. I never saw anything about the Bible on there. They looked like they were a wholesome family, and I liked it. Now I'd like to hear some commentary on that, because maybe some people felt like that woman, that she was a little bit too strong, or you know, maybe not strong enough. I'd like to hear some commentary. But if you really needed to go by any type of relationship between, because you never saw the husband and wife disrespect one another.
Right.
They always were on the same page, and they both had, they both were intelligent people, and they both, they were together in whatever they said about the children and things of that nature. And that's the example I find in scripture for us. That's
right.
What I
said. Yes, but she was a housewife. Phyllis, she was the housewife that cooked, cleaned, and served her husband. So I just wanted to get the disadvantage.
Are you talking about Archie Bunker,
Edith,
Sheila?
Archie Bunker, yes. So
yeah.
I just wanted to get some feedback on that, you know, if you...
Well, she did show wisdom in the sense that she never let his all his little sarcasms get to her, though. Because he said things to her, and she just let it, you know, float over her back. And she ended up still, you know, ended up getting her way at the end. And he would talk all his junk if he wanted to, but she still prevailed. So
I'm going to take a look at it, Bet, and see what you're talking about, because I missed something.
Okay.
Because I,
She seems very sad.
All right. Well, you know, all praises to the Most High God. I'm glad to get off my plate. I think
you're
that
never
response
again, break up again. Please don't bring that up again. No more credences for him.
This guy has been dead and buried, and we don't want to deal with it any longer. And we need to go ahead and work with what we're doing and try and love these men that we have to the best of abilities and talk with them. And then, you know, it's almost like the sister was saying how she's easy to submit to her husband regardless of what the circumstance is. Be careful who you marry when you get a situation like that, because if you marry someone and he's a drug addict, it's going to be a little difficult for you to just submit to everything he says, because you're definitely going to be in trouble. I've met sisters that married drug addicts, and then they began using drugs with them, and then the sisters died first. They died.
Yeah.
Like, you know, see, because I've lived this life, you know, and I've seen what can become of situations. So when you marry somebody, be careful who you marry, because then you are in that position of subjection.
Can you manage?
Is this someone, when you see someone that you're talking about marrying, figure out, are you able to subject your will to that man? Will he be someone you can trust to be in subjection to? Or are you going to have to be like, no, I can't do it.
Because you're trusting your life in that person's hand. If you got sick, he has the right to pull the plug and all kinds of things.
Right. Yeah, all of that stuff. You got to dig deep.
Does this man love me with his whole heart? That I can, you know, as the scripture says, you're safe. The man's reputation, the man's heart is safe with you, and your heart is safe with him. Those are the important things.
And then lastly, I want everyone to think about what your interest is. And we've had this talk before, but after all this rhetoric, what's your thought on arranged marriages? Because with no one there, I know people in certain congregations where they're telling me there's only two people in that whole congregation that are not married. Only two, meaning men, and a flock of women that need to be married to someone. And so if and when we just, the church would say, okay, we're going to try and arrange some marriages, I'm wondering how that would work out and if anyone would be interested in that, because it would mean a lot of review process, a lot of getting to know family members, and then the two people coming together and learning a little something about each other and seeing the picture. If it's somebody who you just want to look at, then you don't take it any further, you know, because there's no one there. You know, I'm wondering what I think, you know. But guess what? We are at the end of the show, guys. It has been fun, and like I said, I'm really glad to know that we're done with Mr. Samuel, and we have it's been moved and seconded that we don't need him, and we're gonna go ahead on and learn how to be submissive to our husband and learn what the mission is and learn why. If we're submissive,
yeah.
The script said, I make him a help me. Does that mean that man needs help? So does that mean you stand by and do nothing? You stand by and let things happen? He needs help.
I want to throw this in there too, Cheryl, is would it be wrong, like you're talking about arranged marriages, would it be wrong for some of the older women to actually be matchmaker, make me a match?
A sister just texted me. She said, send me one of those men. Send me one now. She said, send me one. I laugh. She's ready for it. Other people are chiming in right now, but we are getting off this line. And I do have an extra minute or so, but I think we really got to pray out, you know.
Yeah.
But this is Sister Betty, with your crazy self, go ahead on and close us out, okay?
Okay. All right. Sisters. Let's pray.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All praises are highest. Bayashan, Yashaya, Rabawa, Kodash. Thank you, Father.
We love you.
Thank you for waking us up this morning, clothing the right mind, feeling good in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for this hour and the hours to come.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for this program that we are hoping that it touches and get others to listen out that are listening in, that sisters can hear something that will help them. Guide us, continue to guide us on this path or what we're trying to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And we just thank you, Father, that you just present this opportunity. And we pray that this week that everybody is healthy and you keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger. In Yeshua's mighty name.
Thank you.
Thank you. Listen, see you again next week, same bat time, same bat channel, right? Everybody have a blessed night.
Yes,
okay.
Shalom.
Shalom.